Genesis 49, verse 1 and 2. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Then Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Father, let my message be clear. Let it be a challenge and encouragement and a warning to our life to stay close to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Prophetic Warnings to Covenant People. We are covenant people. We are God's covenant people. Okay? We are definitely covenanted to God. If you study Genesis 49, okay, Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, they are powerful comparison because both chapters contain prophetic blessing and warnings over the whole tribes of Israel, and we can say over all the people of God from two different leaders at two different moments in history. Genesis 49 is Jacob's parting word. Parting words are very important. Parting words are always important. Okay, Jacob knew that he's going to die already, and he has his parting words. And it was Jacob's blessing his children, beginning of Israel as a family. And it is Jacob say a lot of words to all the 12 of them. He say a lot of things to all the 12 of them. And the 12 of them represent each and every one of us. You can find yourself in one of them. I just want to tell you, you can find yourself in one of them. It is prophetic and corrective. The focus of Genesis 49 is on character and destiny. Your character and your future destiny. Deuteronomy 33 is Moses' parting words before he went up to the mountain to die. Deuteronomy 33 is Moses also blessing the 12 tribes again before they enter the promised land. Moses was nicer, more encouraging, more affirming, which was God's intention for all of us. God always wanted to be affirming and encouraging for all of us. And the focus of Deuteronomy 33 is on blessings and divine favor. So these two are very important truths. And I say again, you can find yourself there. You can find yourself there. Pastor Lily and I will be leaving soon. This is our parting words for all of you. Next week is the change of command service. It will be the last service before we relocate to Singapore. We will come back once in 6 months, but our effectiveness will not be as good as right now. Okay? We are here not to, when we come back, we also will not be attending the service. We will not be sitting down here because we will be there to correct and improve on what is happening for the past 6 months. And we will do it only maybe twice. Then after that, you are on your own. I feel the need to share this word. And I'll say to you that this message is given to me by God. Given to me by God for this church. So there are a few truths that we can learn from Genesis 49 and Exodus 33. Sorry, Deuteronomy 33. Number one, God sees you honestly, but does not leave you there. God sees you honestly, but does not leave you there. God sees your real condition. God sees your real weakness. God sees your real strength. He does not pretend or ignore sin. He does not. And I think what Pastor Lily has done is correct. He does not pretend or ignore sin. Reuben was the first mention. Reuben is the firstborn. He's the first mention. He is unstable and lost his firstborn right. In the Bible, all of us believers are given the status of firstborn. We are firstborn. Some are physically, truly firstborn in your family. The first child to be born in your family. Elise is firstborn. Elise is firstborn, my granddaughter. Pastor Lee loves Elise more than the other two boys. Yeah. Even though they are boys. Okay? I don't understand Pastor Lee. She's quite harsh to Noah and more understanding to Elise. Okay? I love Noah more. Okay? Boys are preferred over girls in the Chinese family.
Not me.
Not her. Yet Pastor Lily has a special love for Elise. I want to tell you something. God has a tremendous special love for you. Whatever situation, whatever conditions you are in right now. But spiritually, we are all firstborn. Being firstborn, what do you mean by firstborn? You are given the privilege when you accept Christ as a personal savior. Positionally, you are given the position of privilege, inheritance, and authority. You're given these three wonderful things. But the more important truth is, God takes you as the firstborn spiritually in your family. You have to be the firstborn in your family if your whole family are not born again. Yet it's so sad, like Reuben, for many of us, we are unstable and therefore did not excel. Did not excel. Why? Genesis 49:4 says, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed and then you defiled it. Let's exposit on this verse. Water has no shape. Water has no fixed shape. If you go to the swimming pool is rectangular, the water is rectangular in shape. If you go to an oval swimming pool, the water will be oval in shape. If you go to any other shape, you go to any pool that is maybe oblong in shape, the water will be oblong in shape. Many of us, we are like water. No fixed shape. We flow with the pattern of the world. We shift loyalty easily. And we cannot hold firm in our belief. We are impulsive, uncontrolled, and lacking discipline and consistency. Like Reuben, we have so much potential. But we do not have the stability of character. What do you mean by when you say you do not have a stability of character? It means that you are inconsistent in your character. Okay, Reuben has moments of good intention. Moments of good intention. But no consistency. I mean the fact that you attend church every Sunday, involved in ministries, pay your tithes, shows that you have good intention. But God wants consistency. You see, Reuben intervened when his brothers were plotting to kill Joseph. He was acting with some level of conscience and responsibility. You have conscience. You have good intention because you have conscience. He was acting with some level of conscience and responsibility, like you. You have some conscience, you have some consistency. But then he also told Jacob to kill his two sons. If he did not bring back Benjamin from Egypt, that means to me that was rashness. That was out of his own thinking, of his own wisdom. I mean, Jacob would definitely not kill the two sons. Reuben had good intention. I don't think God doubt you have good intention. But Reuben has weak execution in his life. He's displayed rashness. Second, he started well, but did not finish strong. He was driven by impulse. instead of conviction. What is impulse? He is driven by a sudden search and feeling that led him to sleep with his father's concubine. There was just sudden search and feeling that led him to sleep with his father's concubine without thinking about. And it's not sin. It's not just about sin. Please understand that truth. The truth of the matter is that he lacks self-control and disregard for authority. You know, the root issue here is rebellion, dishonor to his father, and attempt to exert control or dominance. It really reveals what is already inside Reuben. Lack of self-control, respect for authority. A stable person is guided by truth and conviction. Can I ask you, are you guided by truth and conviction, or you are guided by impulse, self-thinking? Jacob, before departing Mother Earth, brought this up about his sleeping with. I want to tell something. If you think that Jacob is not forgiving, if you think that Jacob is cannot forget what his son has done, cannot forget the sin of his son, you miss the truth. That is not the real reason Jacob wrote that verse. That is not the real reason. It is not about being angry with Reuben for what he did. Jacob is already past that. Like, already past what he have done. Jacob is actually revealing character pattern and consequences. It's not about the incident. It's about the character pattern of Reuben and the consequences of Reuben. Reuben's failure was not a one-time mistake. As we see from later history, he exposed a pattern of life. Instability that led to poor decision in life that results in loss. This is a general character of Reuben. He's unreliable. He tried to save Joseph from the pit, but left the sin. I mean, he's the firstborn. You said you shouldn't be doing that. That is the son. That is our brother. So he tried to save. He tried to flow with all the 11 brothers. And he was hoping that when they left, he will come back and pick him up. And he left the sin. Because of that, Joseph was sold. Or he was gone. Good intention, but no sustained action. And as a result, like many of us, we did not excel. We have the potential for excellence because of our linkage with Jesus. You know what Jacob said to Reuben? I tell you, it's not about that sin. As Ray told you, it's not because of that. It's a pattern. You know what Jacob said to Reuben? You shall not excel. I think this is one of the saddest verses that God can say about us. And this is one of the saddest things that people, when God come to you and say that you shall not excel, I think it's one of the right word is tragic. God is saying that you have lost your destiny, position, and will not rise to what you are meant to be. Tragic. Great privilege, great inheritance, great authority, but wasted opportunity. You can have position, but you have lost your effectiveness. You may have calling and gifting, but you still fail due to lack of discipline. Instability is very, very dangerous. Unstable as water means inconsistent faith, emotional decision making. Many of us, you make decision. You even give advice, mainly on how you feel, rather on careful thinking or what God thinks. It's personal emotional thinking. Lack of self-control. easily swayed by temptation. Please remember, God sees you honestly. God values steadfastness, not just potential. Sin has consequences. Even though Reuben was still a son, like we are still Christian, he has lost the privilege, the influence. Sin does not remove your salvation, but it affects you, your usefulness, your spiritual authority, and your impact. Here is the Christ-centric link, okay, which I want to speak to all the Reubenites. Where Reuben failed, God thought of a solution. Jesus came on earth and succeeded. Where Reuben was unstable, Jesus was stable and faithful. Amen. While Reuben dishonored his father, Heavenly Father, Jesus perfectly obeyed the Heavenly Father and made him proud. While Reuben lost inheritance, Jesus secured eternal inheritance. Amen. Yet because of all this, he still went to the cross. He still went to the cross for the Reubenites. You cannot say God did not give you a chance. Jesus went to the cross. He died for all these failures. There are many in this category, but will you listen? Will you listen? I know many of you will not listen. God sees you honestly, but he did not leave you there. There's still hope. But will you listen? Will you listen? God says in Deuteronomy 33:6, let's move on 40 years later. Let Reuben live. Sorry, 400 years later. Let Reuben live and not die. This is a very powerful yet short and potent verse. This verse is very brief. Why is it brief? Because Reuben's status has already been reduced. This verse shows no mention of past sin. Let Reuben live and not die. No mention of past sins, but also no promise of greatness either. Yes, no mention of past sin, but no promise of greatness also. Just a prayer for survival of the Reubenites and the continuity of the Reubenites. God is saying, the choice is yours. I believe you are in this category. You should come to the altar and let the bitter heart cry and ask God to change you. There's still hope for past doing. This is essentially a prayer for survival by God, by Moses, and by God, that Reuben will continue to exist. Like Pastor Lee, we will pray that you will continue to be a Christian and not be wiped out. Moses is asking that Reuben's population will not diminish. That is tremendous agape love, tremendous love of God for Reuben. In spite of all Reuben is, it reflects God's concern for Reuben, that Reuben will not become small and insignificant over time. It has a deeper significance. It is a merciful blessing. Even though you have a troubled past, you need not be cut off. Instead, you can receive a meaningful blessing, continued life and stability. It illustrates a broader theme on the Bible, restoration despite failure. That even those who fail can still receive grace and preservation. God is saying that you will survive, endure, and not fade away despite earlier loss. And that is your choice. That is your choice, because God's work is always conditional. You must understand, God's dealing with all of us is always conditional. If you choose, like Pastor Lady just now prophesied, to the pure, God will remain pure. To the impure, God will remain impure. The choice is yours. It's really yours, not God. God's part wants your survivor, wants your stability. So the choice is really yours. Yours to make. Number two, you are not disqualified. You are reassigned. Genesis 49:5-7, Deuteronomy 33:8. Simon and Levi are brethren's instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Oh, my soul, come not down into their secret, unto the assembly. My honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel, for I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Then 33:8 of Levi, he said, let thy Tummims and thy Urims be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. After Reuben, the firstborn, Jacob went to the secondborn and the thirdborn. Levi, the reason for the secondborn is there is chances in life. The contrast between Levi in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33 is one of the most powerful transformation. It shows how God can turn a curse into a calling. What was the issue in Levi? Violence and anger. Okay, he talks about character flaw. Character flaw, okay? We have character flaw. Peter always want to be in the front. Peter is always boastful. Character flaw. Character flaw. Uncontrolled temperament, character flaw. Misuse of strength, none assigned. Because of that, they were reassigned with no central inheritance. No inheritance. Loss of honor, loss of leadership, loss of position. This is not just a punishment, but a prophetic consequence of character. Character flaw again. But something happened. Something so beautiful happened. It has to do with character. When others sinned at the golden calf incident, Levi stood with God. Levi chose obedience over compromise. He talks about the world. He talks about the Christian community. The Christian community were creating idols and worshipping the false gods of today. Levi did not. Everybody knew it was wrong. That many times we knew what was wrong. Morally wrong. Or any other thing. We still went along. We knew it was wrong, but we still went along. We have so many false gods today. We compromise. We know what is right, but we adjust ourselves to fit the culture, fit the pressure, fit the convenience. We blend the truth with error in life. We stay silent when we should stand up. We are people who think inwardly, I know this is wrong, but I'll go along. Today we live in a compromising culture, even church compromise. You know what we all say? Truth is relative. Do what is right in the culture. Do not be extreme about your faith. Many of us are like that. Many Christians, we stay quiet. We blend in. We avoid standing out. And we have, because of that, we have hidden sin. Live a double life. Church life versus private life. Justify wrong behavior. But I want to tell you about Levi. He did not follow. He did not follow. They refused to follow the crowd. They aligned themselves fully with God. Like Joshua said, for me and my family, we have decided to follow the Lord. That's what Levi is saying. For me and my family, we have decided to follow the Lord. They aligned themselves fully with God, even when it was costly and unpopular. You know, Pastor Lydia and I, we lost a lot of earthly privileges and gain. The end of the 40 years, we are called stupid. No wisdom in planning for the future. I remember my elder sister's husband said this to me 30 years ago. Why is Tony so stupid and unwise? He did not say that to me in my face, but he spoke that in front of all my brothers and sisters. To Pastor Lily. Why is Tony so stupid and unwise? He has a degree from the National University of Singapore. He can succeed and make it well in a secular world in Singapore. Why is he so unwise to leave for the Philippines? Look at his younger brother. My younger brother, he stayed in Singapore and graduated with a degree, and he went to London to get a degree. Now he drives a car and owns a condo. Well, this guy that said to me, his wife, which is my sister, died. They have only one daughter, and the daughter is in Benton Hospital. God will prove you wrong. I just want to tell you, God will prove you wrong. Even my two daughters say, why you did not exercise prudence and plan for the future? You always talk about faith. Now your own age, you have in your old age, you have nothing. When things are fine, they are very fine with us. When things turn bad, they blame us. We're at the sunset of our lives. I want to tell you, we will still follow God fully and decisively, even though it causes relationship, comfort, reputation. Please remember, Levi is not perfect. Pastor Lily and I are not perfect. Paul, at the end of his life, say, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Many a times I felt myself like Paul, the chief of sinners. But like Levi, our obedience is shown in repentance, a life of repentance, accountability, and living consistently for God. That is the answer. That is the answer. You live a life of repentance. You live a life of accountability. You live a life of consistency for God. At critical moment, you make a decisive stand from God. I speak to the Levi today. You're not chosen because of your past, but because of your response in that moment of temptation. You know what God gave to Levi? I tell you, you will love it. God gave Levi a very special gift. A very, very special gift. I love that special gift. Deuteronomy 33:8 says, and of Levi he said, let thy Tamim and thy Urim be thy holy one. Please look at yourself. Do you have the Tamim and the Urim in your life? Let thy Tamim and thy Urim be thy holy one, whom thy proof at Massah, and with whom thy strife at the water of Meribah. Tamim and Urim are sacred objects used by Levi to discern God's will. Urim means light and revelation. Levi has light and revelation. Tamim means perfection and truth. Levi, in position, is perfect before God. And he lives in the truth of God's word. And because of that, they are able to seek God's direction. They can make very wise decisions. This is such sacred gift that God has bestowed upon Levi. They are entrusted with divine guidance. They become God's voice. They are entrusted with God's voice. They have spiritual authority. They are set apart, consecrated for God. The phrase, with your Holy One, means they are separated for common use. They are dedicated to God. They are no longer destined by the past sin, but present consecration. When you are tested at Massah and Meribah, means that they have gone through testing and they have proven through testing. They learn obedience through testing. They learn obedience through difficult season. They learn obedience through hard times. They never compromise through hard times. The testing reveals loyalty to God. And the testing refines them. How does this apply to us today? God entrusted revelation to the consecrated. You carry the Holy Spirit. You discern God's will in practical affairs of life. You can discern God's will in practical affairs of life of people. You clearly know God's will. You are not just saved. You carry God's voice. You have spiritual insight and you have divine guidance. And your guidance comes through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scripture, through wisdom, not from intelligent people. Not from friends, not from counsel from friends. Your guidance comes through the Holy Spirit, scriptures and wisdom from God. You bring people to God. You possess a priestly ability to inquire for God. You have this ability to just seek God's will and God will tell you the thing. Let us be the Levi. This sacred grief is something that is so beautiful in life. Beautiful in life. Number three, God finishes what he starts. Okay, the fourth person is Judah. Judah, you are he whom... I think Levi is not the third. I cannot remember, okay, but if I make a mistake, the second and the third could be other, but I'm just mentioning these four. Okay, Judah, 49 verse 8. Judah, you are he whom your brother shall praise. The word, the fourth son is Judah. I cannot finish all the 12 children, but I can just tell you this one thing. You can find yourself there. You can really find yourself there. Do a deep study and find out who you are there. You are one of the 12. Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33 shows Judah moved from prophetic destiny to establish strength. The name Judah means praise. Praise. Jacob declared that Judah will be respected, honored, and lifted among the tribes. His leadership is not forced. His leadership is recognized. True leadership produces praise. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemy, means you have control in battles. In battles of life, in circumstances of life, in events of life. Your hand will be on the neck of the enemies. You have control in these battles and you will lead. And because, and when you lead, you overcome. In the battles of life, you not only lead, but you overcome. Your father's children will bow down before you. Means that people will recognize your authority. Submit to your leadership. It means that it is fulfilled in the life of Jesus and David from the tribes of Judah. How does it apply to me, to us? Your identity is rooted in praise. When I was preparing this, Marco Corrado, God gave me this word to you. You must continue to lead this congregation to praise the Lord. And this is a prophetic prophecy. Your life will not be ashamed but the praise. Your worship will precede victory for your own church and your own family. Praise is not just a response, but your identity. I speak to Marco's wife. Live circumspectly, fully with your husband. Be wise and not foolish in what you do. Bring honor to your husband. God has forgotten your past and will bless you for the sake of your husband. There are two people I want to speak to, and that is Pastor Carlos and Mike. When you come and you touch the music, when you lead, you have a very special anointing to bring people to worship God. I'm not saying the rest are not. The rest are very, very good. But theirs is more of something like a gift. When you touch a piano, an organ, you can bring the presence of God down and people will worship God. Judah shows us that those who live in praise will walk in victory and authority. You know, many of us, our life is like that. We complain. We chide. We spew faithless words. We spew faith word, death words when things are wrong. We speak like the children of Israel. Why did you bring us here? Why do you bring us to this situation? Where is the daily sustenance that God promised me? Where is the food and the water? Where is the garlic and the onion that God promised? Who gave you authority over us and interfere with our life? They always complain about leadership. We have the Aaron, we have the Miriam, we have the children of Korah. But Judah is not that way. Judah live in praise. Hallelujah. When faced with trials, faced with storms of life, faced with pain, Judah will still praise God and thank him and have faith in God. Because Judah knows his identity. Praise is not singing in the church. It's a way of living before God. To live in praise means I respond to life, whatever it is, however it is, with gratitude instead of bitterness. A little problem only. I want to tell you something. I notice when people meet together, you know what they do most of the time? Talk bad about other people. Am I correct? Let's be very honest.
Especially ladies, sorry dear.
When you sit down, you talk about other girls, other people.
We acknowledge God even in pressure. Our attitude stay anchored in God's goodness. You God is saying, instead of saying, why is this happening to me? You should say, God is good, even here. Judah is not a warrior first. Judah is not a king first. Judah was praise first. It means lifestyle living. Lifestyle living. His strength flowed from worship. His identity is rooted in God, not circumstances. Many of us, we live in fear. Oh, Iran war. Oh, the price of oil. Oh, my children suffer diseases. Oh, my exam is coming. We are affected. We flow like water. When the things is like that, we become like that. When things is good, we become happy. We live in fear. Judah lives in faith. You know what happened? As a result, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That scepter is Jesus Christ also. Jesus Christ shall not depart from Judah. The scepter is a royal staff, a symbol of authority, kingship, government, rule. How does it apply to us today? Jesus is our eternal king. The scepter belongs to Christ, the Lion of Judah. As Christians, we don't live under human authority. We live under Christ's leadership. It's not important what people say. It's important what God says. Jesus is not just Savior. Jesus is Lord. Every area of your life must be submitted to Him. Decision, character, family, work, and purpose. Let's come back to the third point. Then I'm going to finish. God finishes what He starts. God finishes what He starts. There's hope for you. Judah's prophecy became a faith principle for believers today. God did not just start something with you. God will carry it through generation until the fulfillment in Christ. God did not just start with you in the day of salvation. He will carry it until Christ comes back. You know, one of the verses that never leave my mind when I first became a Christian is Christ is the author and the finisher of my life. And I want to tell you, Christ is the author and the finisher of your life. God starts with a promise, not in perfection, which we are not perfect, which we have moral failures, but God's promises are not based on your current conditions, they are based on purpose. What God spoke over your life is not cancelled by your weaknesses. God does not wait you to be perfect before He starts His promise. God continues His start through a process. Judah goes through history. Pastor Lemmy, we have gone through 40 years. Struggles, growth, battles, generation. We are into the third generation, my children. God works in process, not constant fulfillment. Like Pastor Lily was saying, there's a lot of things, finances we have to do. And Pastor Lily is saving up this fund every month to finish the payment of the mortgage. And God knew that in 2 or 3 weeks' time, we will be in Singapore. We will step in Singapore. God said, I don't want you to worry about this amount monthly. And God changed. I was moving my investment away, taking out, so to put into retirement fund. But the retirement, I was shocked that my investment was not in, totally in retirement fund. My investment was put into an ordinary fund. And the ordinary fund came in, and the ordinary fund was is enough for me to completely pay up the house. And I told Pastor Lily, isn't God good? You don't have to worry about the monthly amortization anymore. Because you are in Christ, God will not abandon your calling. God will not stop halfway. God will complete your spiritual formation. He who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion. Even failure does not cancel God's ending. We have failures, but God is able to redeem mistakes, restore direction, and rebuild destiny. So imparting, I urge you, trust God. In unfinished season, even when nothing seems to change, stay faithful in the process because God is still working. Amen. Stop giving up on yourself because God is not finished with you. Believe your future is secure in Christ, because Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise for your life. I ask you, which category are you in? For the Reubenites, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. It's not hopeless. Because God said, let Reuben live and not die. The choice is yours. The heart of God is shown in that verse. Let you live and not die. This heart's God's concern for you. For the Levites, God said, I've given you a special gift, a sacred gift. For the Judah, God said, your lifestyle pattern must be one of praise, not directed, not distracted by circumstances or events in life. You must, and this church will thrive. This church will thrive. Shall we all stand up? Let's sing a song.